We think about the blessing of family. We think about the time when we're able to spend together with our loved ones, and sometimes we can't see them very often, but we enjoy being able to reunite, and it's just a blessing to have our families and our loved ones. But we know that giving, when we think about it from a Christian perspective, goes far beyond material things. We know too much material things are not good for anybody. But we know that there are other things that we can give and should give in abundance and never stop giving, and especially within families. And so as we think about giving and giving to our loved ones, think about, as a husband or wife, what you have to give that would be worth far more than any material possession or quantity that you could give to a loved one. Giving is described in Ephesians chapter 5. We've been going through this in our Wednesday evening Bible class with the adult class. And there in chapter 25, we see what husbands can and must give to their wives. And he says, you give it like Christ gave it. And that is love for your wives. Love is something that you demonstrate by doing. It's not simply a verbal declaration that I love you, but it's actions. And you can say you love someone all you want, but if your actions demonstrate differently, that's what carries the weight. So we have to demonstrate love in action by what we do. And if Christ gave himself for the church, laid down his life to present her without spot or blemish, then it's a high calling to reach up to say, I love my wife like Christ loves the church. When she goes through difficult times, when she is burdened, are we there to understand, to help her? Do we cherish her? Do we take care of her? Are we willing to sacrifice for her? Paul points out in that same section of Scripture that you're also to love your wife as you love yourself, he says. He says, no one, you know, abuses their own body, but you nurture your body. You cherish your body. So he says, therefore, this is what you do for your wife. You take care of her, you cherish her, and you nurture her, and you demonstrate love in that fashion. He says to wives, what can you give? He tells them, you submit to your own husbands as the church is submissive to Christ. He tells wives in that same context, he says, you respect your husband, verse 33. And so submission, respect, honor, these are things specifically mentioned in that context given to wives as far as the relationship between husband and wives, what is given and what is received by both. What about our children? They, of course, in like manner need the love that parents can supply. Titus said in Titus 2 and verse, or Paul said to Titus in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, that the older women were to admonish the younger women that they might love their husbands and love their children. Love your children. This is something so vitally important. Children need to be loved by their parents more than the pursuit of possessions, more than the acclaim of a certain position you might be able to attain in a workforce. But there is a role that has been given to mothers and fathers. And our children deserve our meeting those needs that they have and living up to the God-given responsibilities that we have been entrusted with by God for the good of our children. We can give our children parents who honor the roles that God has given them, who fulfill those roles, and thus create a home environment that the children can thrive in and benefit from because they are loved by parents who love the Lord. And of course, love, again, as we remember so often, is described beautifully in 1 Corinthians 13. These attributes, when you think about it, pertaining to a loving parent, love suffers long and is kind. And then he goes on, love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Many of those expressions, those phrases could be thought about, contemplated, and applied to the tough job of parenting and meeting the needs of our children and showing them love in the various ways that we certainly can and must. You think about children's need for instruction. How many kids today are going off in terrible directions because they don't have guidance? They don't have direction from, you know, Christian parents who can teach them in the ways of the Lord, who can show them this is the way to live life. You know, because as Christians, we have that advantage. We can show that God says, our Maker says, when you're faced with these pressures from your peers, here's the right way to choose. God's already shown us what to do. And we can help and aid them. So as we think about instructing our children, what are they going to be facing? So they face in school, they face in their sports activities with peers, they face in various other kinds of groups that they might be involved with, people who are not going to be like-minded with them. You know, they're not going to think or believe the exact same things that they do at being brought up in the church. How do you handle that? And we teach them not only what to expect, but how to respond to the various types of taunting they may receive, ridicule of various sorts, being excluded at times, or just someone who wants to know, why do you all do it this way? And help them to learn how to give an answer. And that will help give them confidence when they know and can face those challenges. Because the reality is, throughout life, they will have to face those challenges and meet those encounters and be able to handle them successfully. Because that's what we have to do as adults as well. Of course, there is the need for us to give our children the discipline, the punishment at times that they are needed. So many passages in the book of Proverbs remind us of God's will. And the reason, of course, for correction is because you want good consequences down the end. We see in society the results of a lack of discipline. We see what that results in. We see families suffering the results of children who haven't been disciplined properly. And you can go to either extreme, of course, abusive, permissive. But we're to follow the guidance from God's Word. So we want to give our children correction because a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Proverbs 29, verse 15. You let your children do as they want to do. All you ever do when it comes to correction is just a little verbal, now you shouldn't have done that. That's not going to change their course of living. That doesn't put the fear into their hearts that they need. So what does God say do? Correct them. The rod and rebuke give wisdom is the first part of that verse. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. So God includes two components to his discipline that he prescribes for humanity. And so what he says is you speak the words of rebuke and correct them, but you also use the rod, the instrument. And they used rods during those days. People have told their kids, you know, for years, go out and get a switch. If you get one too small, I'm going out and I'm picking it. Or, you know, they get a wooden spoon or they get their belt or whatever it might be. And they use something to inflict pain. That's the reality of it. And why? Because you're trying to teach your child that there are consequences if you do this behavior. If you don't obey me or whatever it has been, you're trying to mold and shape them, correct them, so that down the road they have learned to live properly and make the choices that will keep them right with people around them, society, and most of all, God. And so correction is desperately needed. We're told foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 22, verse 15. And do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Again, Solomon says in chapter 19, verse 18, chasten your son while there is hope. There's a time that we have when they are impressionable, when they are at home, when especially they must have that guidance. You can wait so late that your efforts become very difficult to change their behavior and so forth. So we must remember these words. Chasten your son while there is hope, and what? Do not set your heart on his destruction. If you don't chasten, here's the outcome, the Lord says. And then Proverbs 29, verse 17, correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. So we give to our spouses, we give to our children. Is there anything for children to give to their parents? Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obedience, you give it, and now there's a difference between obeying and obeying with a good attitude, right? You can go get done whatever you were told to do, but you can gripe and complain and murmur along the way. But that's not God's will. So it's obedience with the spirit of honor and respect. That's the rest of the verse. Remember, he says, then beginning in verse 2, he says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long upon the earth. If you see a young person who has no respect for their parents and what they say, and they do not honor them, you see a young person that is extremely likely to get into very serious trouble in their lives and could even prematurely lose their lives because they do not regard their own parents, much less other authorities, and they do like they want to do or they do like their peers do, and there's little restraint and there's much risk in terms of how they live. Dangerous. Honor, respect for parents, that's what God wants children to give. And so when you think about true wealth lies in what God gives us through His Word. Treasure, worth more than silver and gold and all jewels, is what we can hold in our hands. This book that can transform our lives, that can show us how to live, show us how to give in ways that are most meaningful. If you're not a part of God's family, a part of those who look to our Maker as the source of all wisdom and guidance so that we can live the most meaningful life possible and have hope of eternal life, then you need to think seriously about where you stand tonight. If you're not a Christian, that means all of your sins stay there with you and you are in a lost condition. But we can change that through obedience to what God has set forth simply in His Word as to what does a person need to do. When the people on the day of Pentecost said, what must we do to be saved? They were genuinely sincere in their questioning, and they were told, what, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Sin stains the soul, so you have to have it removed. It begins with faith. Got to turn away from sin and repentance. Confess your faith in Christ and be baptized. Immersion is absolutely essential to salvation. When you do those things, God adds you to the church of His Son. And you begin your journey toward heaven. As a child of God tonight, where are you on that journey? Faithfully walking with the Lord? Have you strayed some? Do you need the prayers of your Christian family here tonight? Have you been living in sin and you need to make things right? He can help you. You know that He longs to receive you back to Himself. You know you have a loving family here. If you need to come, we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.